Good morning and welcome to Northwoods. We are so glad that you're here. My name's Hope.
And my name is Jason.
And you know, we would love to get to know you, and there are several ways that you can do that this morning.
Hey, as you're attending with us today in the service, hop in the chat on Northwoods Online. It's a great way for you to let us know your name, let us get to know you, and you can say hello to those who are attending with you in today's service.
Yeah, it is just a fun time to get to know other people. And also, while you're in the chat, if there's anything that we can be praying for, we would love to know that. Or maybe you've seen God move in a really powerful way this week. Go ahead and share that in the chat. And if you're looking for more of a like private one-on-one prayer, click that request prayer button and one of our prayer team members will accept that and can pray with you.
Yeah, and as we're attending today's service, you can use the Northwoods mobile app where we have our connection card. And that is a great way to just stay connected with Hope and the others on our team throughout the week. You can share prayer requests and you can just check in on the things that are going on around Northwoods and let us know that you want to participate in those things. Those prayer requests, every single one that you turn in, we pray for and our team prays over throughout the week.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of the app, you know, I want to highlight something in there, and that is that you can find opportunities to serve. You can find groups to join, and you can look at all of the events that we have coming up. I know it's kind of crazy to think about this, but fall is coming quickly, and basically kind of when school starts is when we start a lot of new ministries on campus. And so I just encourage you to check out everything that's going to be happening this fall and find a place to get plugged in.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's all we've got for the housekeeping items to get service started. So we want you to enjoy today's service, settle in wherever you are, and just enjoy today's service and participate in the worship and enjoy the teaching and enjoy today's service.
My heart is crushing overwhelmed. When I look and all I see is chaos around me, I'll remember you. When I fought and seen the victory won, when at last the miracle has come, when I look and all I see is favor around me, I'll remember you. Come on, you know it. With the rising of the sun, I'll sing your praise. Even when my days are done, I'll sing your praise. brings me to my knees. Nowhere to hide. This weight is crippling. Come speak to the sea. It's raging inside of me. All of this worry.
Are you thankful for the peace of God? I'm thankful that peace isn't found in a new home. It's not found in a new car, a new job. Peace is a person. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And we praise his name in this place. And I was thinking as we were just singing, I cast my cares at your feet. Just this week, I had to take a short trip to Denver to meet with the church leaders of a church that we've recently adopted. And I tried to fit everything into my backpack. I'm going to carry on. I'm not going to pay for a checked bag. And that bag was so full, you couldn't get anything else in there. If you want to get something else in there, you had to take something out. And I was thinking about that bag just as we were singing, because you know, a lot of us bring our kind of our metaphorical bags here with us on Sunday, and we come full of problems, full of worry, anxiety, and many times it's hard to hear anything else when your mind is full. And so I want to just invite you in this moment, whatever it is, whether it's a problem, a care, a worry, let's do what the Bible says. The Bible says, cast all of your anxiety on Him, for He cares for you. So what I want you to do right now is just say, Lord, you just say, Lord, whatever it is, Lord, I cast this issue with my child. I give it to you. Lord, I give, you know, all the problems in our country, whether it's the economy, what am I going to do with my job, with my finances, I give that to you this morning. Just release it to Him. Say, Lord, I give all of my cares to you. I empty those, I cast those at your feet. And I thank you that you care for me. And I invite you, Holy Spirit, I pray you would speak to me today. I pray you'd speak to me through your word. And I thank you that peace isn't out there somewhere, that peace is in me. And I invite you to fill me with your peace today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen, church. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. You can go ahead and grab a seat. Great to see all of your smiling faces this morning. If you're new with us, my name is John. I'm the senior pastor here at Northwoods. I want to throw a shout out to you. Thankful to have you with us, whether you're here in the room or whether you're joining online. We always love to have visitors here with us at Northwoods. And if you have the mobile app on your phone, you can go ahead and pull that out, fill out the connection card, let us know you're here, how we can be praying for you. And if you're a parent who has small children, again, hope you know on the Northwoods app, you can actually check your children in before you get to church. Just a way of streamlining the process for you there. And again, as always, anything that's said during announcements, if you're checked out, I hope you're not checked out, but if you forget something that was said, you can always go back to the connection card and you can see everything we talk about in announcements today. Also, I want to let you know, coming up in September, we're going to be launching one of our classes, Doing What Jesus Did. If you've graduated Doing What Jesus Did, will you just put your hand up? How many graduates? We got a lot of graduates in here. Come on, give yourself a hand. That's awesome. So we have had over 1,000 people graduate our Doing What Jesus Did class. And it's a class where you're going to learn how to hear God's voice and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you're someone who's saying, you know what, I'm just trying to figure out what's my next step in my journey with Christ, and you haven't taken this class, I would encourage you to check it out and sign up. It's a 2-semester class, so it is a commitment, but I promise you that it will be a blessing to you and your walk with the Lord. So you can check that on. You can check that out online, northwoods.church/doingwhatjesusdid, DWJD. Now, like I just said a minute ago, this week I was in Denver for just a couple of days, meeting with the core team of a church that we've kind of recently come alongside financially. We'd call it Adopted Church Plant. And I was there to meet with the core team. We also sent a mission team here from Northwoods, about a team of 14 to 15 who have gone out to help them with some outreach events they're doing in preparation for the launch of that church. And when you give here at Northwoods, your giving not only helps fuel the growth of what Northwoods is doing in this community, but also in our country, because your giving is helping a church out in Commerce City, Colorado, which is near Denver, to get on their feet with a launch out there and reach people in their community for Jesus Christ. So I want to thank you again for your giving here at Northwoods. It really does fuel the growth of what God's doing in our community and all around the world. And there's many ways you can give here at Northwoods. You can text to give. You can give online, northwoods.church/give. You can give cash or check in the black boxes at the back of the room. And again, however you may do that, we just want to say thank you, because we have been so blessed by your giving here at Northwoods. So thank you for that. Now, today, you're going to get to hear from one of our Life Help pastors, Kurt Smith. And you're going to get to hear over the next couple of weeks, this Sunday and the next two Sundays, you're going to get to hear from a few guest speakers. And that really is a blessing to me and to you. It's a blessing to me because it allows me time to not have to be actively preparing a message week in and week out. And it gives me time to be planning and studying for the year ahead. That's what I'm be doing this next week. And there's not a lot of pastors and preachers that get that luxury. And I am very blessed to have that opportunity here at Northwoods. And so it's a blessing to me during the summer. My dad used to do that. He'd take, you know, July and August off. I'm not going to take quite as much time off this summer, but it's a huge blessing to me. And I think it'll be a blessing to you, because you're going to get to hear from a few other people on staff, one of our campus pastors. You get to hear from one of the pastors at Ascent Church. That's the former Galesburg campus here at Northwoods that is now one of our church plants. And so you get to hear what God is doing out in Galesburg and Canton, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you to hear from them as well. And Kurt Smith is a guy, he's in our life help ministry here at Northwoods, helps lead our marriage ministries here. And I've always enjoyed Kurt, very genuine, relatable. Kurt's a lot of fun. You know, I had Kurt come into our student ministry back in the day when I was leading Converge, and I had him come in and do a hot wing challenge with his son because I wasn't about to eat some hot wings. And he came in and he was pounding the hottest wings from Buffalo Wild Wings. And he told me after, he's like, yeah, I got a couple ulcers. I was like, dude, did you really just do that? And to make him feel better, you know, I grabbed one. I said, I'll eat it. And I put it in my mouth, and I didn't let them see this, but I immediately walked over to the garbage can and spit it out because I couldn't handle it. And so Kurt's always been a lot of fun. I enjoy Kurt. You get to hear from him today. But before he comes up, we're going to run a video on the screen here of some of our support groups, people that have been through our support groups here at Northwoods whose lives have been radically changed by Jesus Christ. And so I want you to check out that video. And when that video is over, I want you to give Kurt a big welcome and let him know you're thankful to have him speaking today. So go ahead and check out the screens.
It wasn't the alcohol that I needed, it was Jesus that I needed, but I couldn't get rid of the alcohol until I first understood God's love for me.
But I knew in my heart that I needed some extra help. I couldn't really do this alone.
And God helped me realize who I truly was and what my sin was doing both to myself and the people around me.
I'm a recovering alcoholic now. Instantly, God started working in me through the program.
And I knew I needed to quit, but I couldn't quit. I was like praying to God for over a year, and I'm like, I just want you to take this from me. Like, I don't want to drink anymore. I know that I shouldn't be doing this, but I can't.
I was going through a very painful divorce. I can't tell you how grateful I am for that program because you just feel understood. I mean, when you're going through a crisis, life goes on.
I am part of regeneration. I was living a double life, hiding my sin from the people closest to me. And really, I was at a loss for who I even really was. God has made a huge impact on my life. I have made a total 180, and God has scooped me up and just carried me through that dark time in my life.
I found a new identity in Christ. It was really cool to have all that stuff exposed, and I had those relationships to surround me and to support me through that.
I had always believed in God, but had never put my trust in Him. He blessed me with a wonderful wife that forced me to come here, and I'm so thankful for it. To be in this spot today and to say that I'm alcohol-free, I'm not completely free of everything, but I'm on that right path.
Divorce Care is led by volunteers, and they're very compassionate and caring, and that's just where I needed to be. I found a safe place to go to, a place of comfort, a place of truth, and a place of healing. It was hard. I mean, there's no easy fix. It's not like in 14 weeks your life is just suddenly better. If you put in the time and effort and you show up, and you're open to God's healing, you will be healed because only God can heal a broken heart.
I needed to understand that other people were going through things as well as myself, and we could work together as a team, not necessarily to solve all my issues or solve all their issues, but just to know that God is there with us and wants us to be together and be intentional.
I think the consistency and just staying like true to coming each week, even though it was very challenging, God seriously did amazing work through that.
God loves me so much more than I was even able to fully understand. You know, I've gone to church my whole life, but God has been there even more than I realized.
Yeah. I love hearing stories like that because God is doing some amazing work in our recovery ministries and in region, as well as all the work that we're doing in Pure Desire. We're seeing stories like that and more every single day, and it is so exciting to see God show up and honestly get to show off a little bit in the lives of these people. So can we one more time just give them a round of applause for their courage? Thank you.
Well, good morning. As John said, I'm Kurt. I'm one of the LifeHelp pastors here. It is awesome to be with you guys this morning. We are continuing in our series 7, the 7 redemptive names of God. And we started out 3 weeks ago, Brother Timothy, and we got to hear him speak about Jehovah Shalom. Or no, sorry, that's today. We're going to get there in a minute. Jehovah Jireh, the God, our provider. A couple weeks ago, Nathan introduced us to Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And then last week, Pastor John introduced us to Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, where we learned that through God, we can overcome what the enemy sets against us, like those folks in that video. And today, we are going to learn about another one of those redemptive names of God, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Now, peace is certainly something I think we all want and desire in our life, right? I mean, all you have to do is watch any news program, turn on any TV, read any article online, and you're going to see and hear about people begging for peace. I mean, we hear it, we're looking for peace within governments, within our own government. There's parents who want peace in their families. I mean, we raised 3 boys. Man, there were times we begged for peace in our home, right? I mean, but this is something that is all around us. In fact, I want to have a little bit of fun here this morning. I feel like peace seems to be the one thing that is the most likely response to all of society's problems. Well, at least according to most beauty pageant contestants. So check out the screens.
I would have to say world peace. Definitely world peace.
That's easy.
World peace. World peace.
What is the one most important thing our society needs?
That would be harsher punishment for parole violators, Stan. And world peace.
Thank you, Gracie Lee.
And thank you, Stan.
You gotta give it the old parade wave then as you leave the stage, right? Wouldn't that be amazing if we could just finally have somebody give a real answer to a question that we just expected a certain response from? I think that would be amazing. But I think it's easy for all of us to desire calm and security and stability, but is that true peace? Well, we're going to dig into that a little bit today and discover for ourselves. So I believe personally, if you'll just allow me a little bit of time here, I believe that this series came at the perfect time in my life. Over the past 6 weeks, I have been able to experience the first 4 redemptive names of God in my own life. And it kind of all started out, this has been a very, very full summer for me so far. And it all started out on, my wife and I were planning our 30th wedding anniversary. So we've been married 30 years this summer. So thank you. You can applaud her. I was also planning to travel with a mission team to Brazil to be able to minister along villages on the Amazon River. So I need to give you a couple of dates here. Our anniversary was June 19th, okay? So yeah, Father's Day. I'd like to think that Father's Day took second fiddle. It was the 30th anniversary first. So I give you the right answer, so my wife's here to hear that. And then our mission team was planning to depart June 30th for Brazil. On Saturday, May 28th, I hopped out of the bed of a pickup truck, landed wrong, and rolled my ankle and suffered a high ankle sprain. I was on crutches for a couple of weeks. I was very disappointed because I wanted to walk on the beach with my wife on our 30th anniversary, that third week of June. But I was also stressed because this mission trip that was planned for the end of June, my financial support really wasn't quite coming in like I had hoped it would. And so it's safe to say that I did not have a whole lot of peace. On top of all that, I was also knowing that I was going to be preparing a message for today, as well as preparing a message for some of the villages that we got to preach in while we were in Brazil. But I've learned over the years, and I can tell you it's mostly the hard way, that I needed to rely on God. So I prayed. I prayed hard. I asked friends and family to be praying as well. And within a few days, I received a notice that I had gotten a donation to my mission trip. So I logged on to my mission portal to discover that I had one anonymous donor fund the remaining amount for my trip. Jehovah Jireh showed up, God provided, and my trip was fully paid for. So I got to release that stress to him. But he wasn't done yet. I then discovered that I had to now travel to Iowa in order to receive the required travel vaccinations in order to enter Brazil. Now, these are very specific and unfortunately very expensive vaccinations. So I sent out an email to a group of friends asking for prayer. I heard from one of those dear friends who had been praying about an opportunity to be able to bless and give with a very specific amount of money. And it turned out to be the exact amount of money that I needed to be able to get all the vaccinations required to leave the country and enter Brazil. And God showed up and he provided. I got to experience Jehovah Jireh in my life. It was awesome. But there's more. As if you're like, but wait, there's more. Bobby Bucknam was then teaching a group of our Converge students doing what Jesus did. And on June 9th, they were actually learning and practicing about doing healing prayer. So she invited myself as well as a few others to come in and have the students pray over us. They could actually practice praying over real people. Well, at that time, now remember, I have this high ankle sprain that I suffered on May 28th. At that time, I'm wearing an ankle brace, and I'm still using a crutch to try to get around because it's painful to walk. But Jehovah Rapha showed up, and through the courage, the obedience, and the prayer of those students, he healed my ankle, and I walked out of that room with almost complete range of motion. And you know what? I walked on the beach with my wife on our anniversary. I wish I could tell you it was over, but it wasn't. As our mission team was arriving in one of the villages, we had a team member who had began feeling a tremendous amount of anxiety. And we had other team members who were experiencing minor illnesses, headaches. There was a general feeling of uneasiness around our team in that particular village. And so we were on a medical boat, and so we went down and we began praying in the medical bay. And as we began ministering, it became very apparent that there was a spiritual oppression over this village. We immediately began praying for strongholds to be broken, and then our team began to feel that anxiety slip away. We gathered and we prayed as a team, and even one of our team members had a vision while we were praying. Of a picture of a snake, and the snake's head was just kind of staring, and then all of a sudden, poof, it disappeared into like a cloud of smoke. And we felt that anxiety, we felt that leave, and we got to feel that Jehovah Nissi was present with us, the Lord our banner, and was giving us, we were overcoming everything that the enemy was beginning to set against us. And we were able to minister mightily in that village. And there were a couple other stories out of that village that were just absolutely incredible, where God's protection showed up. God, our banner, showed up with us in that moment. But I have to rewind just slightly, because on June 30th, as our team was leaving, again, I knew I needed to spend a little bit of time preparing for today's message while we traveled, probably on the airplane, maybe in a little bit of airport during some of our layover. But I also knew I was going to be preparing messages for in the village. And so I was certainly feeling a little bit of stress. We had a busy travel schedule combined with preparing these messages to preach. And so I developed what I thought was like a little canker sore in my mouth. And by the time our team had done all the traveling and we arrived in the country and we traveled from the airport to our hotel and then from our hotel to the boat, we got on the boat, began meeting the medical crew that we were going to be working with. And this little canker sore was now shooting pains under my eye across my face. It was no longer this little canker sore. It was something that was bothering me quite a bit. And so I mentioned it to one of our team leaders, and he thought, you know what, we got a dentist on board. One of the Brazilians is a dentist. Maybe they'll just take a look at it, and they got something they can help you put on it and clear that up and get rid of that pain. Fine, that's great. Well, an hour later, I'm lying in a dentist chair on a boat moving along the Amazon River at 10 o'clock at night, having a woman I had just met now speak through a translator to tell me that I actually had a little tiny cavity that had gone through the tooth, penetrated the root, and caused an abscess in my gums. And then I heard the words I didn't know I was going to hear. Hey, we're going to do a root canal. I was like, you know what? I think we'll just give me ibuprofen or something. I'll take care of this on American soil. But I knew that God had a plan on that trip. He had provided. He had showed up. We have already experienced him in many ways on this trip. And so as I laid there in a chair, I proceeded to have a Brazilian dentist who I had met an hour and a half earlier give me a root canal in the middle of the Amazon River on a moving boat. I never felt a thing. It was amazing. The God of peace, Jehovah Shalom, showed up for me in that moment. And so we want to talk to you about today how God can meet you where you are, and you can experience that peace as well and experience Jehovah Shalom in your own life. And so that is where we're going to find Gideon in the story we're going to look at today. So if you have a Bible with you today, feel free to open it up to Judges chapter 6. If you've got the YouVersion Bible app, open that up as well. We're going to be reading the first 24 verses of chapter 6. This is going to be a little different than what we normally do, but I'm excited to see the story opens up. It sets the scene for what's happening to Gideon and the Israelites. So in Judges chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, it says, "The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites, because the power of Midian was so oppressive. The Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help." So throughout the book of Judges, we see this repeating cycle. See, the Israelites, they walk in obedience to God, and then they're blessed. They have freedom. They have peace. But then they choose to walk in disobedience and find themselves enslaved to their enemies. They live as if they've been captured. They're in fear and in anguish. Then they cry out to God to deliver them. Well, God hears them and once again delivers them from their enemies. But then the cycle starts all over again. We've got obedience. We have disobedience, bondage, repentance, and deliverance. In our text, we see the Israelites here once again crying out, hoping for a deliverer. They need deliverance from the oppression now of the Midianites. So God sends them a prophet to remind them of how he's delivered them in the past. See, God's delivered the Israelites from the oppression that they suffered under Egyptian domination. But he also delivered his people from those who opposed them as they made their way to the promised land. And it was also God who warned them not to worship other gods. But they disobeyed anyway. And they were worshiping gods for fertility, for rain, for even for victory in battle. But the prophet reminded them that it was the God of Israel who is truly and exclusively their deliverer. That they did not need to worship any other god, but to look to God alone for deliverance. And it was this disobedience we find for the reason for their current oppression. So now enter Gideon. All right, I want to pick up the text in verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Pardon me, my Lord, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, "Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?" But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. But the Lord turned to him and he said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family." All right, we're gonna stop right there. I want to review a little bit of what we just find. So we see Gideon hiding. All right. He's threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. All right, this is something we need to understand about threshing wheat in a wine press, okay? This is something that would typically be done in a high place, out in the open, so that the wind would carry away the chaff as the grain is threshed, treading on it, and then tossed into the air. So a wine press, that is no place to thresh wheat. That would be like trying to use a screwdriver to drive in a nail. It's just not a good idea. It's not going to work. But Gideon used the wine press so that he could keep out of sight of the Midianites, who, if they saw him, they would just come and take his grain. So I think it's safe to say that Gideon's actions are pretty indicative of how bad things had become for Israel. But an angel of the Lord comes, addresses Gideon, and says to him, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." I think those are weird words to hear when you're hiding from your enemy. "The Lord's with you, mighty warrior." But this, with those words, began what I can really only compare to kind of this tennis match between Gideon and the angel of the Lord. See, Gideon tries to give every reason why God should choose somebody else. Despite the excuses, God doesn't even bother to address his situation. He doesn't even bother to answer Gideon's questions. He simply says, look again in verse 14, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you?" So pause right there for a second. I don't want you to miss this, because you know what? Gideon nearly does. God says, "Go in the strength you have." Do you hear that this morning? Go in the strength you have. You see, if God is calling you to something, he will equip you for it. He says, "Go in the strength you have." But still, Gideon nearly misses what God's trying to say to him. He thinks he needs to remind God of who he is. And so in verse 15, he says, "Pardon me, my Lord, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am least in my family. All right, this is huge. Gideon is drawing his identity out of what I believe is a generational curse. Stick with me here for a second. This comes from his great-grandfather Manasseh, who believed that he had his birthright stolen from him. So here's what's happening in that story. So we've got Joseph. You guys remember Joseph, the guy with the coat of many colors, right? So Joseph has two sons. His firstborn he names Manasseh, and the secondborn he names Ephraim. It's important for us to remember their birth order, okay? So Manasseh is the firstborn, Ephraim is the secondborn. So Joseph, okay, takes his sons to his father Jacob to receive the family blessing. So it's customary that the firstborn would receive the family blessing. And so he's going to have this blessing from his grandfather Jacob. So Joseph brings the boys to him, and he places Manasseh on the right to be blessed by Jacob's left hand. He places Ephraim on the right, or on the left, sorry, your left, to be blessed by Jacob's right hand. Now, Jacob was old. Okay, nothing against old people, I'm getting there. Jacob's eyes weren't the greatest. His eyes were beginning to fail a little bit. And so as Jacob begins to bless the boys, he crosses his hands and touches the boys on opposite sides of himself and gives the blessing. Well, Joseph's like, whoa, hey, I think Dad's made a big old mistake. And he says to Jacob, I think you've made a mistake. And Jacob says, no. The younger son will be greater. So Manasseh believes that now his birthright has been stolen from him. And so as I read that account, I think it's really easy to draw the conclusion that Manasseh probably becomes a little bit bitter about what's happening to him. I mean, we've probably had instances in our lives where things have happened and we believe that something has been taken from us that was rightfully ours. Right? Maybe that promotion was given to somebody else that you don't believe was nearly as qualified as you. I believe that Manasseh probably shared that with a few people who were willing to listen to him. And this is now passed on for generations to Gideon. And Gideon now carries this badge, this burden, this generational bondage with him for all of these years. And he begins now to God, repeating that lie that has been fed to him and that he believed his entire life. He's given him the don't you know where I come from? Don't you know who my ancestors are? Man, I'm nothing. I am worthless. I'm not good enough. I wonder how many of us here today, when God is calling us to do something, we find every reason under the sun to convince God that he needs to choose somebody else, that it's not us. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough, right? Maybe you've heard your whole life that you're not good enough, that you don't come from the right family, that you don't have the right last name to play on the team. Maybe you've been judged for something that happened in your family years ago that had nothing to do with you. You need to hear the words that Gideon heard from God. I am with you. See, Gideon needed to hear that none of the reasons of the past mattered. None of the things, the lies that he believed about himself or his ancestors were true. They were all false. God chose him, God gave him what he needed, and God was with him. And it was at this point that Gideon, like many of us do from time to time, needed to be sure that he was really hearing from God. So he asked for proof. He asked the angel of the Lord to wait there while he went and prepared an offering. And he brings back this offering and he places it on a rock The angel of the Lord then touches the offering, this meat and bread, with the tip of his staff, and it was immediately consumed in a fire. And this was Gideon's aha moment. And we see this develop beginning in verse 22. Let's go back to the text. When Gideon realized that it was an angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But then the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid. You're not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is Peace." And to this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Gideon found peace in knowing that God was with him. He encountered the Lord face to face and did not die. God told him, "Peace is with you because I am with you." Right there in that moment, he met Jehovah Shalom. Just as Gideon met Jehovah Shalom in the midst of his personal, his family, and even his community conflict and turmoil, you too can meet Jehovah Shalom in the middle of your own personal turmoil. See, Gideon found inner peace despite ongoing outer drama. And he did this by simply knowing that the Lord was with him. See, knowing the truth and then aligning our thoughts with that truth is a powerful way to experience peace, to experience Jehovah Shalom. It's often our own thoughts and beliefs about who we are that disrupt our peace. So in order to transform what we do, we must first transform what we think. And for Gideon, that meant knowing that God was not only with him, but was also for him. See, God hadn't moved away from Israel at all. In fact, the Israelites had left his presence through their disobedience and sin. See, Gideon hadn't even fought the Midianites yet. He hadn't solved a problem of the enemy at all. They were still an issue. But before Gideon had an opportunity to deal with the issue in the physical, he had to build an altar and worship the God of peace in the spiritual. And it was there that Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, his banner, that God of victory, overcoming what the enemy was setting against him, showed up, and he was able to experience then Jehovah Shalom, and he experienced peace. And it was on that altar he praised God for his peace, not because his situation had changed, but because God showed up in the midst of it. So with God, you can experience peace in any situation, but without him, you can spend what you want. You can go where you want. You can do what you want, but you'll not find true peace. The best you're going to get is maybe a deflection of your life's anxieties, a diversion, perhaps a distraction from them. But if you want true peace and wholeness despite life's circumstances, you must be in God's presence. I love what pastor and author Jeannie Stevens writes about in her book, What's Here Now. She says, "To find peace in and with God, we must stop rehashing the past, rehearsing the future, and start receiving the present." Being present with God is knowing and believing who he says you are. See, we can't live in the past. And you know what? We'll never find peace in the past. We can find freedom and healing from the past, but we can't live in it. We can't let those who say that you'll never change, you're exactly as you were when you were a kid or in high school or in college, you can't let those voices change who God says you are. You get to choose the voice you listen to, whether it's the voice of the enemy or it's the voice of God. See, what we believe about ourselves is known as a core belief. And when those core beliefs are false, it affects our thoughts, our feelings, and our emotions. And those in turn will ultimately be manifest in our actions and our behaviors. I want to put a diagram up on the screen to help illustrate this a little bit. So you're going to see this iceberg diagram, and at the very, very bottom of this iceberg, you'll see the core beliefs. This is what you believe about yourself, whether it's true or false. If it is false, it is probably because the enemy has been feeding you a lie. And those lies will begin to impact the things that you think about, the feelings that you have towards things, and those will ultimately then impact your actions and behaviors, the things that other people see. When those behaviors are rooted in false beliefs, shame takes hold and our relationship with God and with others is interrupted. So if you have any unwanted habits or unhealthy behaviors in your life, you need to drill down below the surface, discover if there are any false core beliefs that are at the root of this. Again, when we believe in a lie of the enemy, it causes us to act out of those lies, and it disrupts our relationship with God and with others. I ask you, are there any lies that the enemy has you believing that are disrupting your relationship with God or maybe the other people in your life, and that's ultimately keeping you from experiencing that shalom, that peace that God desires for you? Again, maybe you believe somebody else got that promotion falsely. Maybe you believe you don't even deserve that promotion. Maybe you believe that because of what you've done, your spouse will never trust you again. Does the enemy have you convinced that you'll never beat your addiction? Or maybe you'll never find the right person in your life that you'll marry and spend your life with? Maybe you hear that voice that tells you that you're not good enough, that you're not strong enough, that you're not smart enough to do what you believe God's calling you to do. Are you carrying a generational curse that had nothing to do with you? Is there something that you're battling that is holding you back from hearing what God truly believes about you, who he says you are? What is that lie that the enemy is using to keep you in chains, keep you from that peace? Before we close out our service today, I'm going to ask you to stand right now, and we're going to do something together. We're going to take an action here this morning. We're going to begin to reclaim some of that peace that God has for us. So in a moment, I'm going to ask each of you just to get quiet with the Lord, and I'm going to ask you, ask the Holy Spirit, is there a lie that I am believing about myself? Is there a lie that the enemy has planted that I am believing that is not true? So go ahead, take a moment, get quiet with the Lord and ask him, is there any lie that I'm believing about myself? Now, if you've identified a lie this morning, I want you to do something with me. I want you to, right now, I want you to give that lie a one-word name just to make it easy to recall it. So maybe that's insecure, worthless, failure, addict, cheater, liar, fraud, stupid, whatever it is, give that lie a one-word name. You know something, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, that I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Amen? I believe that God has given us the authority to trample those lies this morning. Now, I know that there is power in prayer. There is mighty power in prayer. But I also believe that just as powerfully, there is power when we take action along with those prayers. And trampling certainly is an action in my book. And so this morning together, I want each of us, we're going to whisper that name, that lie that the enemy has been using, that word that God has just revealed to you. And I don't want you to shout it out, because I don't want it to cause any shame, because shame, again, will disrupt that relationship we have with God. I don't want any shame at all this morning. So we're going to whisper that lie. And what I want you to do together this morning, I want you to stomp on, trample that lie of the enemy. Cancel it in the authority given to you by the power of the Holy Spirit, just as if it were a snake or if it were a scorpion, because nothing will harm you. So if it is worthless, we're going to say, worthless. And we are going to stomp on that lie. Do it now in Jesus' name, in the authority given to you by the Holy Spirit. Whisper that name and stomp on it. Cancel that lie that the enemy has you believing this morning. Do it now. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, God. If God has revealed more than one lie to you, do that for every single lie that the enemy has you believing this morning. Trample those lies. As you walk out of here today, remember that with every step you take, with every heavy foot that hits the ground, the authority given to you by the power of the Holy Spirit will trample those lies that the enemy has used to keep you in chains. Now that we've trampled a lie, that we can cancel that lie of the enemy, we want to replace it with the truth. So there's one more thing we want to do. I want you this morning, along with me, would you please hold your hands out in a posture of receiving today from the Holy Spirit? I want you to ask Holy Spirit to reveal to you the truth about who God says you are. Just as Gideon believed that he was worthless and he was the least in his family, God revealed to him that he was a mighty warrior. So to help you begin to find your own peace, to meet Jehovah Shalom here this morning, I want you to hear God replace the lie that the enemy has been feeding you with the prophetic promise of his word and who he says you are. So now take a moment and ask the Lord how he sees you. Speak today, Jesus. Speak today, Jesus. Thank you. See, God has the final say about who you are. He is the only one with the authority to speak to your identity. Don't let people, don't let circumstances, or even your own beliefs about you change what God says about you. God will meet you where you are. He is a gracious, loving Father who will walk with you in fear and in doubt. Your identity and your confidence is in God. You will overcome all the power of the enemy and nothing will harm you, and you will meet Jehovah Shalom and peace will reign in your life. Let me pray for you. Father God, God, I pray this morning you will bring freedom and peace to this place and to your people. I cancel and silence the lies of the enemy today in Jesus' name. God, you are the only voice that can speak the truth to our identity, and it is only in you that we find peace. And so, Lord, as you directed Moses to pray over the Israelites, I now pray over your people today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. Hey, if you need prayer for anything, our prayer team will be down here at the altar and we'll be happy to meet with you. Have a great week. We'll see you back here next week as we learn yet another one of the redemptive names of God. Hey guys, thanks for joining us online. It was awesome to be with you today. It was an honor to be able to speak the word. If God has revealed a lie that the enemy's been holding you in bondage with, and then replace that lie with his truth about who you are, would you please jump in the chat and share that with our team? They would love to celebrate that victory with you in your life. Peace be with you, my friends. God bless.
Well, that was another great message in this series 7 that we are in. And I just love learning about these different names of God. It's so good. And I feel like it does just help to know different attributes of God and learn new things about him.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'd love for you to download the Northwoods mobile app if you haven't done that yet, and use that as a tool to stay connected with us in between the weekend services, and stay connected with us this week as you continue to think about what was taught this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you can always follow us on social media as well. It's another place where, you know, we're going to share encouragement throughout the week, maybe some clips from the messages and things like that. So I encourage you to follow us there and be sure to invite somebody to come back next weekend and watch the service. We will see you next Sunday.